The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths, the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of God for the people of God. So I have to explain how I came across the 23rd Psalm. I was going through Barnes and Noble, you know, trying to stay ahead of the Sunday school class so I can be prepared a couple steps ahead of everybody. And I came across a book called Traveling Light by Max Lucado. And I was going to show you the cover. My dog ate it. Moose is very much still a puppy, but yeah, this was when he did it, when he was still very much a puppy. And then Peggy gave me this discovery series, The Lord is My Shepherd, Rest and Renewal. So what I'm talking about is I have to give the publishers credit, so just so you know. Traveling light. Traveling light means trusting God with the burdens that you were never intended to bear. Matthew 11:26 says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." The 23rd Psalm is one of the most powerful biblical passages that can help one to lighten their load. What is true in jogging is true in faith. God has a great race for you to run. Under his care, you will go where you've never, ever been and serve in ways you've never dreamed. But you have to drop some stuff. How can you share if you are full of guilt? How can you offer comfort if you are disheartened? How can you lift someone else's load if your arms are full of with your own? For the sake of those you love, travel light. For the sake of the God you serve, travel light. For the sake of your own joy, travel light. There are certain weights in your life you simply can't carry. The Lord is asking you to set them down and trust him. He is the Father at the baggage claim. 1 Peter 5 states, "Unload all your worries onto him, since he is looking after you." I want to share that most people know that I wasn't a big fan of my mom, not after the childhood that we had. But I can honestly say now, I'm okay with that. It took a lot to be able to say, she doesn't deserve my time anymore. I'm going to live in the moment, not the past. My Sunday school class has heard me say that a good bit. So why did David write the 23rd Psalm? To build our trust in God, to remind us of whom he is. God is Yahweh, the great I am. God needs no descriptive word because he never changes. David was a shepherd by trade. God is like a good shepherd. What is a shepherd? Someone who protects his sheep no matter the cost. Of all God's animals, the sheep is the least able to take care of themselves and require incisive care because of their helplessness and defenselessness. Sheep are not very smart and have the tendency to wander off. The good shepherd stays close to his sheep, watching them carefully and protecting them from the slightest harm. When one sheep strayed, the shepherd searched for it until it was found. He would then lay it across his shoulders and would bring it home. At the end of the day, each shepherd led his flock to safety on the fold and slept across the gateway to protect them. So what qualities does a good shepherd have? A generous heart, a watchful eye, undeniable faithfulness, strength, and tenderness. God shows all of these qualities that can be encompassed into one word: love. Our waywardness doesn't have to be explained to God. Everyone wanders away. It is what makes us human. God is never surprised by anything that we do. He sees everything at a single glance. What is, what could have been, apart from our sinful choices. He sees into the dark corners and crannies of our hearts and knows everything about us that is to know. But what he sees only draws out his love. There is no deeper motivation in God than love. It is his nature to love. He can do no other, for God is love. That's 1 John 4:8. One of my favorite verses, John 3:16, states that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Focus on the word "who" for just a moment. I believe that God is speaking to us as individuals here. So it's one thing to say the Lord is a shepherd. It is another to say the Lord is my shepherd. In the same verse, it says, "I shall not want." The prison of want. We have seen her prisoners. We are always in want. We want something bigger, nicer, and faster. The list of wants appears to be endless. Are you in this prison of want? You are if you feel better when you have more and worse than when you have less. If your happiness comes from something you deposit, drive, drink, or digest, then face it. You are in the prison of want. How do you find your way out? You find the secret of satisfaction. What I have in God is greater than what I don't have in life. We need to understand that what we have doesn't belong to us. Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from the labor that he can carry in his hand. It's Ecclesiastes 5:15. Jesus said, "Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot." Luke 12, verse 15. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. When God thinks of you, he may see your compassion, your devotion, your tenderness, or quick mind. But he does not think of your things. Again, what you have in your shepherd is greater than what you have in life. You have a God who hears you. You have the power of love behind you, the Holy Spirit with you, and all of heaven ahead of you. If you have this shepherd, you have grace for every sin, every direction for every turn, and a candle for every corner, and an anchor for every storm. You have everything you need. This is what I'm about to say is a direct quote from the Traveling Light by Max Lucado. Thought it was an interesting description. Our original organizer owns all the real estate on Earth, plus an assortment of galaxies and constellations. He knows everything lives everywhere. Our product is free for the asking. There is not enough money to buy it. He is our CEO, who was born in a hick town, worked as a carpenter, didn't own a home, was misunderstood by his family and hated by his enemies. He walked on water, was condemned to death without a trial, and arose from the dead. We should walk with him every day. Therefore, we should be content when we surrender to God the cumbersome sack of discontent. We don't just give up something, we gain something. God replaces it all with a lightweight, tailor-made, sorrow-resistant, attaché case of gratitude. What will you gain? You may gain your marriage, hours with your children, and self-respect. You may gain joy. You may gain the faith to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Sheep can't sleep. In order for them to sleep, everything must be just right. No predators, no tension in the flock, no bugs in the air, no hunger in the belly. Everything has to be just so. Sheep need sleep. They need a shepherd to lead them and to help them lie down in green pastures. Without a shepherd, they can't rest. Without a shepherd, neither can we. The sheep's job, our job, is to watch the shepherd. With our eyes on the shepherd, we will be able to get some sleep. You will keep perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Isaiah 26:3. Okay. So imagine with me, if you would. I don't have a pen. Should have thought about that. But here's a blank piece of paper. If you were to put a black dot on that piece of paper, what would you see? Your eyes would focus on the black dot. We let dark marks eclipse the white space. We see the waves of water rather than the Savior walking through them. We focus our paltry provisions rather than on the one who fed the hungry 5,000 hungry people. We concentrate on the dark Fridays of the crucifixion and miss the bright Sundays of resurrection. Change your focus and relax. And while you are at it, change your schedule and rest. Life can get so loud that we forget to shut it down. The bow cannot always be bent without the fear of breaking it. For a field to bear fruit, it must occasionally lie fallow. And for you to be healthy, you must rest. Slow down and let God heal you. He will bring you rest to your mind, to your body, and most of all to your soul. He will lead you to green pastures. You can say, my shepherd makes me lie down in his finished work. With his own pierced hands, Jesus created a pasture for the soul. He tore out the thorny underbrush of condemnation. He pried loose the huge boulders of sin. In their place, he planted seeds of grace and dug ponds of mercy. He invited us to rest there. His pasture is his gift to us. This is not a pasture that you ever made, nor is it a pasture that you deserve. It is a gift from God. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. That's Ephesians 2, chapter 8. Verse 8, I'm sorry. Worry is the burlap bag of burdens. They're cumbersome, chunky, unattractive, scratchy, hard to get a handle on, irritating to carry, and impossible to give away. No one wants your worries. Worries divide the mind, and anxiety splits our energy between today's priorities and tomorrow's problems. Part of our mind is on the now. The rest is on the not yet. The result is half-minded living. This is not the only result. Worrying is not a disease, but it can cause diseases. It has been connected to high blood pressure, heart trouble, blindness, migraines, thyroid malfunctions, and a host of stomach disorders. You cannot add any time to your life by worrying about it. Matthew 6:27. Give your attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things may come up when the time comes. Matthew 6:34. The key is this: meet today's problems with today's strength. We do not need to know what will happen tomorrow. We only need to know that He will lead us, and we will find grace to help us when we need it. It's Hebrews 4:16. It is vital for everyone to search out God in our daily lives. Time alone with God will strengthen our faith in Him. We need to set a time aside and space to give Him our undivided attention. But where can we find solitude? Go to your room, Jesus said. Close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Matthew 6:6. There is a meeting place as close as our closet door, a time and place where we can meet God and hear His thoughts, and He can hear ours. A time for the two of us when he can have our full attention, and we will have His. Solitude can be a healing place to where God repairs the noise of the world. How do we do this? Take the time to figure out when the best time works for you.